চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়। অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়। নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী গৌর নিতাই কি জয়। শ্রী শ্রী জগন্নাথ বলদেব সুভদ্রা মহারানী কি জয়। গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বল। অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বল ডিভোটিজ। অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ। All glory is to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Nishatari. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So when I am asked to give a class, when a particular verse is not there, I just open the Bhagavad Gita and whichever verse comes, I discuss on that. So that's what I did. I just opened and it opened at chapter 4, text 9. So, does everybody have the Gita with you? Or you can share it. Huh? So I will read the verse and then you all can recite after me. This chapter is entitled as Transcendental Knowledge. And the text 9 goes like, Janma karma chame divyam evam jovetti tattvataha twakta deham punar janma naiti mameti shu arjuna. So Please repeat after me. Janma,
Janma,
karma,
karma,
cha,
cha,
me, divyam,
divyam,
evam,
yo,
veti,
tatvataha,
twakta,
deham,
punarjanma,
naiti,
mameti,
sorjuna.
Janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam jo vetti tattvataha,
evam jo vetti tattvataha,
twakta deham punarjanma,
twakta deham punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam jo vetti tattvataha,
evam jo vetti tattvataha,
twakta deham punarjanma,
twakta deham punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam jo vetti tattvataha,
evam jo vetti tattvataha,
twakta deham punarjanma,
twakta deham punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam yo veti tattvataha,
evam yo veti tattvataha,
yakta deham punarjanma,
yakta deham punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam yo viti tatmata,
evam yo viti tatmata,
yatva devam punarjanma,
yatva devam punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna.
Janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam yo viti tattvataha,
evam yo viti tattvataha,
yaktva deham punarjanma,
yaktva deham punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna.
Janma karma chame divyam,
janma karma chame divyam,
evam yo viti tattvataha,
evam yo viti tattvataha,
tatvadeham
punarjanma,
naiti mameti sorjuna,
naiti mameti sorjuna.
How many of you know the verse already? Very good. So it's a nice verse we selected.
Yes.
It just opened it's like
amazing.
That.
It's
so,
a famous verse.
Huh? Famous verse, yeah. So, translation. I'm sorry. Janma, birth. Karma, work. Cha,
also.
Me, of mine.
Divyam,
transcendental.
Evam,
like this.
Yaha,
anyone who.
Veti,
knows.
Tattvataha,
in reality.
Dokta,
leaving aside.
Deham,
this body.
Punaha,
again.
Janma,
birth.
Na,
never.
Eti,
does attain.
Mam,
unto me. Eti,
does attain.
Saha, Arjun. I'm sorry. Saha, he.
Arjun, O Arjun.
Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So please repeat after me. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance,
the transcendental nature of my appearance
and disappearance does not, upon leaving the body,
take his birth again
in this material world,
but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna.
So, purport by Srila Prabhupada, the Lord doesn't descend from his transcendental abode. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from the material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. No Russian book, huh?
Just one.
No one read that? Oh, I see. Okay. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then, the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is risk of returning again to this material world. But the devotee, simply by understanding the transcendental nature of the body and activity of the Lord, attains the abode of the Lord after ending this body and does not run the risk of returning again to this material world. In the Brahma Samhita it is stated that the Lord has many, many forms and incarnations. Advaitam achyutam anadim ananta rupam. Although there are many transcendental forms of the Lord, they are still one and the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. One has to understand this fact with conviction. Although it is comprehensible to mundane scholars and empiric philosophers, as stated in the Vedas, Eko Deva Nitta Lilaruraka Lila Anuraka Anurakta Bhakta Vyapi Ridi Antaratma. The one Supreme Personality of Godhead is eternally engaged in many, many transcendental forms in relationship with his unalloyed devotees. The Vedic version is confirmed in this verse of the Gita personally by the Lord. He who accepts this truth on the strength of the authority of the Vedas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who does not waste time in philosophical speculations, attain the highest perfectional stage of liberation. Simply by accepting this truth on faith, one can, without a doubt, attain liberation. The Vedic version, Tattvamasi, is actually applied in this case. Anyone who understands Lord Krishna to be the Supreme, or who says unto the Lord, "You are the same Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead," is certainly liberated instantly, and consequently his entrance into the transcendental association of the Lord is guaranteed. In other words, such a faithful devotee of the Lord attains perfection, and this is confirmed by the following Vedic assertion. tam eva viditati mrittum atti nanyah pantha vidyate ayanaya. One can attain the perfect stage of liberation from birth and death simply by knowing the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no alternative, because anyone who does not understand Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is surely in the mode of ignorance. Consequently, he will not attain salvation. Simply to speak, by licking the outer surface of the bottle of honey, or by interpreting the Bhagavad Gita according to mundane scholarship. Such empiric philosophers may assume very important roles in the material world, but they are not necessarily eligible for liberation. Such puffed up mundane scholars have to wait for the causeless mercy of the devotee of the Lord. One should therefore cultivate Krishna consciousness with faith and knowledge, and in this way attain perfection. Janma karma chame dibhyam evam javetti tattvataha takta deham punar janma naiti mameti soarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So this is the 9th verse of the 4th chapter. To go into this verse, let's just briefly discuss about the background of this verse. In the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga, what is Karma Yoga? Karma Yoga means the art of right action. As we act accordingly, we get the reaction. Now, if we act in a wrong way, what will we get as a reaction? If one acts in a wrong way, then?
Bad reaction.
If one acts in a wrong way, he'll get a bad reaction. And what's the bad reaction? Suffering. And If you act in a right way, then what will be the reaction? Enjoyment. Now, does anybody want to suffer? Everybody wants to enjoy. But the real enjoyment comes from right action. So that Krishna explained in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You act in a right way, you will enjoy. You act in a wrong way, you will suffer. And what is the right action? The right action is to act according to Krishna's arrangement. What is the wrong action? Go against Krishna's arrangement. Like Krishna has given the codes in the Vedas. You act in this way. Like these are the codes of the Vedas, are the laws given by Krishna. Just like we can use our common sense. Now, we are in Germany. German government has laws. Now you break the law, what will happen? You go to jail. You'll suffer. German government has its law, and you break the law, you'll end up in the prison. But if we abide by the law, then what will happen? You'll have enjoyment. You'll have an easy life. Or also you can see, in Germany the law is to drive the car from right-hand side. But if you say, no, I won't drive according to right hand side, I'll drive left hand side, then what will happen? collision. Not only you will cause trouble for yourself, you will cause trouble for others also. So that is what happens when one breaks the law. So what is the intelligent thing to do? The law is there, abide by the law. Now in the state of Germany, the Bundesrepublik Deutschland, the government is there. But in the universal affair, who is the controller? Krishna is the controller. So just like as we when we are in Germany, we are abiding by the laws of German government. Similarly, in the universal affair, we have to follow the law of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what Krishna explained in the third chapter. That is the sum and substance of the third chapter. The Karma Yoga, the science of Karma Yoga, or the art of right action. And then at the beginning of the fourth chapter, this chapter, Krishna is telling Arjuna that I gave this knowledge first to Vivashvan. Who is Vivashvan?
Sun God.
Sun God. Vivashvan is Sun God. I gave, Krishna saying, I gave this knowledge first to Vivashvan, the Sun God. And then Vivashvan gave it to Manu, his son. Then Manu gave it to his son, Ikshaku. And in this way, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayu vidu. In this way, through a disciplic succession of saintly kings, this knowledge was flowing. Why saintly kings? Because the kings are the lawmakers. Kings imply the law, just as we say in German, now of course it's democracy and there is no king. But at least the political party is there, the ruling party. The ruling party makes the law. Normal condition, the king is actually used to execute the law and order. In the original context, in the normal situation, the king was the upholder of law. Whose law? Actually, the kings used to uphold God's law, Krishna's law. Krishna's law has been given in the Samhitas, in the Vedas. And Prabhupada pointed out that most of the government laws are actually coming from Manu Samhita. Now, of course, in democratic world it changed. But originally it used to all abide by the Manu Samhita. For what is law? Law is do this, don't do this. And if you don't do this, then the consequence is punishment. That is what law is. Now, the Manu Samhita or scriptures like that elaborately describes for what kind of punishment, what kind of crime there should be, what kind of punishment. Crime and punishment goes hand in hand. You commit a crime. What is crime? Break the law. And then the punishment. Whose law ultimately we are considering? Ultimate law is given by Krishna. And the king used to uphold those laws. Therefore, the saintly kings used to uphold the law of law and order of the universe. Starting all the way from Sun God, Vivashvan. Because from Sun God comes the Kshatriya dynasty, Surya Vamsa. The Kshatriya dynasty, there are two Kshatriya dynasties. One is coming from Sun God, and the other is coming from Moon God. There is Sun Dynasty and there is Moon Dynasty. Coming all the way from Sun God Vivashvan and Moon God Somdev. So all the Kshatriyas, the warriors classes, they are of course extinct now. The warrior class, the ruling class, used to either come from Sun Dynasty or Moon Dynasty, all over the world. So here Krishna is telling that I gave this knowledge first to Sun God, because he is the original Kshatriya. His son is Vivashvan. His name is Vivashvan. And his son is Vaivashvata Manu. Manu. Then Manu's son is Ikshaku. So this is how the knowledge was flowing through a chain of disciplic succession. So that is what Krishna mentioned at the beginning of the fourth chapter. Imam Vivashvati Yogam Praktavan Aham Abhayam Vivashvan Manaviprahu Manur Ikshakuve Avravit Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajorshayo Vidu Evam Parampara Praptam. In this way, through this disciplic succession of saintly kings, this knowledge was flowing. Imam Rajorshayo Vidu. But Shakalineha Mahata Yoga Nashta Parantapa. Sakalineha. Due to the influence of time, this yoga has been spoiled. Yoga Nashta Parantapa. But then Krishna said, Saevayang Mayati Adya Yoga Prakta Puratana Bhaktosime Sakacheti Rahasanghiyeta Duttama. That yoga, this knowledge of karma yoga, had been lost. Because sometimes, if they deviate, then the knowledge will be lost. In course of time, the knowledge was lost. But Krishna is telling that it was lost, but I am going to re-establish this line of knowledge through you. Because? Why? Because who remembers? Why Arjun?
Because
he's not envious. Yeah, but here what he's saying, Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. That's a good point, because he's not envious. Because he is a devotee and a friend. Because you are my man. That's the point. You're my man. That's why I am giving it to you to start this knowledge, the line of this knowledge again. But then Arjun raised a question. Arjun raised a question, because to understand that point, like, we have to first consider that what is the relationship between Arjun and Krishna? Arjun and Krishna, they're cousins. Arjun's mother is Krishna's aunt. And Krishna's father is Arjun's uncle. Like, they're cousins. Two brother and sister's children. So now, if your cousin comes and tells you that, look, millions of years ago I gave the knowledge to Sun God, what will be your reaction? You say, yeah, give me a break. What are you talking about? So the same way, of course, reverentially, with respect, Arjuna has the same point to Krishna. He said that, Krishna, you are born just the other day, and Sun God Vivashan was born so many millions of years ago. Now how can I consider, how can I understand, how can I accept, how can I believe that you gave this knowledge to Sun God? He said, the same point he raised in the way that aparam bhavato janmo parang janma vivasata. Aparam means just recently. You are born just recently. Whereas Vivashvan is born long, long time ago. Kathametad bijaniyan. How can I understand? Tamado praktavaniti. That you have spoken this knowledge to him. Then, see, Krishna is making the point. This point is very important, this discussion. Because from this discussion we understand the difference between a living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna at first said that Bahuni ve batitani janmani tava charjuna. Tani ahang beda sarvani natang betta varantapa. Many, many times both you and I have taken birth. But about those births, I remember everything, whereas you don't. Does anybody remember here from his previous birth? What to speak of previous birth? If I ask you, do you remember what you did 1 week ago? Will you remember? But Krishna is saying that tani ahang beda sarvani, that I know about all those births completely and perfectly. But not tang betha paranta Arjun, you don't. That's the difference between you and me. That means Krishna is pointing out, that's the difference between Arjun, you and me. Although both of us have come many, many times. But I remember everything, you don't. Then Krishna is making the point, ajopi sanabhayatma bhutanam ishwaropishan, that I am unborn. Although I am unborn, I don't need to take birth. I am never born. I have never been born. I am aja, unborn. And abhayatma, I am inexhaustible. And bhutanam ishwaropishan, I am the controller. I am the supreme controller of everything, everybody. But prakritim sham adhishthaya sambhavami atmamaya. But by taking advantage of my internal potency, I appear, not birth, not born, I appear, sambhavami, atmamaya, through my internal potency. So that is how Krishna is establishing the difference between a jiva and the Supreme Personality of God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is ajopi sanabhayatma. Let's go through this verse, Prabhupada's translation. Ajaha means unborn, api means although, san being so, abhayatma without deterioration, bhutanam, all those who are born, ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord. Prakritim, transcendental form, swam, of myself. Adhishthaya, being so satisfied. If you want to see, take six. Sambhavami, adhishthaya, being so situated. Sambhavami, I do incarnate, atma mayaya, by my internal potency. Translation, although I am unborn and my transcendental body never deteriorates, and although I am the Lord of all sentient beings, I still appear in every millennium in my original transcendental form. Sambhavami atmamaya. Then Krishna is explaining, why does he appear? Verse 7, is giving the purpose of his appearance. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharataha abhuthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijamaha. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time, I descend myself. So Krishna comes when there is a decline of religious principles. dharmasya glani. That means, again, we can go back to the first point I was making, law given by Krishna. When so many people start to break the law, then what happens? Then the government takes special action. So, what is the special action? The law breakers are punished, and those who abide by the law, they are protected. Those who are abiding by the law, they are good people. Those who are breaking the law, they are bad people, outlaws. So those who are the law breakers, they are punished. So Krishna comes to punish the law breakers, and he protects the sadhus, those who are devotees of Krishna. In this way, Krishna re-establishes dharma. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. I advent sambhavami yuge yuge. I advent myself. Then it came to the verse that we are discussing today. Janma karma cha me divyam evam javetti tattvatah takta dehang punarjanma naiti mameti shuarjuna. So Krishna is now pointing out. So we can see the difference between ordinary living entities' birth and Krishna's appearance. Is it clear? Does Krishna need to come? No. But he comes. Why? To re-establish dharma. And those who are the law breakers, those who disobey the orders of the king, those who disobey the law and order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are eventually punished by the law. So in order to do that, the Lord comes, Krishna comes. An example can be given. Does the king need to go to the prison? The prison is meant for the criminals. King doesn't need to go to the prison. But the king, out of his compassion, may go to the prison and tell the prisoners, why are you suffering here? You just abide by the law and you'll be free from the prison. Come with me. Can the king do that? Or there is, let's also consider another situation. In the prison, many prisoners are saying, we don't believe in the king. We are the kings ourselves. And we make the law, we will run the prison ourselves. Right? Some people may create some situation in prison. Then what does the king do? King says, okay, come, I'll show you. And so in the prison there is a mutiny, and the king goes, and what does he do? He kills the lawbreakers. And he protects the sadhu. In this way, he establishes the law and order of the prison. So similarly, Krishna, if we consider that this material nature is a prison house, If material nature is a prison house, who are the criminals? We are the criminals, the residents of the material nature. Now, should we abide by the law of the king or should we break the law of the king? If we break the law of the king, then what will happen? We'll create disturbance, right? Just as it is happening in today's world, people are saying there is no God, I am God, you are God, everybody is God, only God is not God. So that is the mentality of the people in this world. And as a result of that, look at the situation of the world, what is happening? People are suffering. So now when the situation becomes so critical, then Krishna comes to straighten out the situation. So that is what Krishna is pointing out. And then Krishna is pointing out another thing, that those who recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, those who recognize that Krishna doesn't take birth like an ordinary living entity, even though it appears that Krishna has taken birth, but actually Krishna didn't take birth. It was his pastimes, Leela. So when one understands that, meaning when one recognizes that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his actions and his birth are simply his pastimes, then he becomes free from the bondage of this material nature. Now, then Prabhupada is pointing out in the purport, to get out of the material nature is very difficult. It's very difficult. Okay, let's again go back to the analogy of the prison. When somebody is imprisoned, when somebody is in the prison, is it easy for him to get out of the prison? To get out of the prison, what do you have to do? That's one way. But the other way, if somebody wants to get out of the prison, he'll have to dig a tunnel. He'll have to dig a tunnel out of the prison house. Or he'll have to get his friends to come with a helicopter and throw a rope and he'll climb up. You see some escape stories like that. They escape from the prison. But fine, you may escape from the prison. First of all, it is very difficult to get out of the prison that way. And then, even if you get out of the prison, do you become free? No. Because you have to all the time hide. Because if the police will be after you. And if they catch you, then they'll put it back to the prison and your punishment will be much more severe. So that is, first of all, it is very difficult, and the result is not at all desirable. Now let us go to this point that Prabhupada is making. Let's read that. Prabhupada is making the point. The impersonalists and the yogis, such liberation of living entity, this is the third line, fourth line, fifth line of the purport. Such liberation of the living entity from material bondage is not at all easy. The impersonalists and yogis attain liberation only after much trouble and many, many births. Even then the liberation they achieve, merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, is only partial, and there is the risk of returning again to this material world. So risk is again to come back to the material world. The risk is you will be arrested by the police and put back into the prison. So that is one way. First of all, the process is very difficult and the result is even more troublesome. But there is another way of getting out of the prison. That has been explained here. As you are saying, Stavaraj, you accept the law of the king, you make an application to the king, appeal to the king, my lord, I made a mistake and I promise that I'll never ever commit the same mistake. I acted against you, but now I promise that I will never ever do that. I'll always abide by your law. Then what will happen? What will the king do? Will the king say, well, continue to suffer in the prison? No, when the king is so just and fair, what will the king say? Forgive him. Okay. Maybe the king, what the king will do, the king will send a message to the prison authorities that I received such and such letter from this prisoner. Now it seems that his consciousness has been changed. So please take care of him. See how he is doing. And report to me. And then they see that he has been real ideal prisoner. He is so obedient. He is so exemplary. And he is always trying to serve the king. Then what will happen? Then the king will not only say that release him, but the king will say, okay, he is serving me so nicely in the prison, so send him to my palace and let him serve me in my palace. Because I need some good servants. Who doesn't want a good servant? So when the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees that he is serving so nicely, he will invite him to come and live with him in the palace. With him. So that is what happens to a living entity who abides by the law of the king. He is not only freed from the material bondage, but he is elevated to the spiritual sky. And he is allowed to be with the Lord as his eternal servant. So that is the point Krishna is making in this verse. So we'll read, consider the verse once again. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question or comment? Mother Dinasharna, any comment?
Actually, I have a question.
Okay. Not at all.
It's not directly connected to this text, but it's something that came up this morning and yesterday, and just a passing thing. And I don't know who, Yananda Swami was here these days, and I had an opportunity that I met Yananda Swami on the weekend. So my question is, like it says that never was there a time, no you and me, that we never existed, nor will there be a time in the future where we will not exist. So, of course, with my mature understanding brain, then the question immediately is, if there was no time that we didn't, this means not just Krishna, but all of us, all the living entities did not exist, and they will always exist, doesn't mean that the numbers of living entities are always the same? that it is like a, what you call, a recycling of souls that's happening?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. And the other way of looking at it is, the number is so many that they're countless.
Yes. Of course.
See,
whatever the number is.
Yes.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. That, you know, another thing is that the Lord's potency is so inconceivable that you know, like, it cannot be measured by any calculation. Just to give an example, you see, although we know that the material nature is limited, but still you consider Mahavishnu is lying on the causal ocean, and from his pores of his body the universes are being generated. Now, is the body of Mahavishnu limited? Pores of the Mahavishnu's body limited? So even see the innumerable...
It's constantly happening, right?
Universes are unlimited. What to speak of living entities? So that is how inconceivable his potency is. Therefore, you know, like, we have to leave it at achinta. We can't think of it. We can't measure it. We can't calculate it. It's therefore, you know, like, when it comes to about Krishna's potency, Krishna's creation, Krishna's activities, we have to leave it at that. Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
Amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
Inconceivably amazing.
Yeah.
And even though we are, I mean, Maharaj, I don't know how many years you have been serving Srila Prabhupada now. 50, 60 years?
No. I am serving for 35 years.
So, even though for 35 years, so many years, right? And we are kind of a little bit coming to grasp with, you know, this philosophy and all this, and still we can't conceive of it.
Well, let it take millions of lifetimes. What's the problem? So why do you have to be so concerned that only this lifetime? Let only prayer is that I can stay on this path without deviation. Life after life. Mama janmuni janmunishwari. Life after life we can just continue to. And maybe some... Yeah, right.
I just have one request in interest of the house, of the people living here. Please, in the morning, to be not so loud. Always when here is a party, then we have very much noise, and my children get wake up and cry because of madanga and these horns and cymbals. So it would be very nice if you try to be a little bit silent in the morning and close the door here outside. Because always when here is a party we have this problem, then wind comes up, and so it would be very nice if you can, in the morning program, I mean.
Yeah.
So that we can sleep at 7 o'clock. This would be nice. Thank you.
You live in that house?
No, upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Upstairs, and it's very madanga and
I see, okay.
Okay. And the children cry very loud and they
okay.
Wake up from this.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Oh, I see. She's a devotee.
Well, I talked to you about
okay.
it earlier.
Oh, right. Okay.
I mean, she was very polite now, but she can also...
Oh, I thought she's from the other village.
No.
Yeah.
Prisoner is not maybe able to write to the king directly. Is it of value to make friends with the authorities of the prison house?
Very good point. Yeah. The the prisoner may not have a direct link with the king. But at least he can go through, the best way to go to the king is through the prison authorities. And mainly when king has sent his agents to the prison. Right? The king actually sent his agents in the prison.
In this verse, it describes that only by knowing Krishna's form and activities, that's enough to not take birth again but attain his eternal abode. So that seems rather as an easy process. You've just explained Krishna's form and activities within this Bhagavad Gita class.
Right.
And will now
it
all
is.
Of us
yeah.
not take birth again? In
yeah, right. It's first point is that yes, it is very easy. It's very, very easy. I mean, the way it has been described. All we have to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and act accordingly. But on our part, we don't really care how long it will take. Because, just consider again, the prison and the prisoner. If the prisoner is acting on behalf of the king, although he is in the prison house, is he treated as a prisoner anymore? No. Like the prison authorities then use him as a model prisoner. And they give him all facilities. Although he is in the prison, because he is acting on behalf of the king, he is not a prisoner anymore. Just like the workers in the prison, although they are in the prison, are they prisoners? Like the guards, like the prison warden, the cooks. They're in the prison, but because they're working on behalf of the king, although they're in the prison, but they're not prisoners. They're free people. They can go out of the prison anytime. When they finish their work, they go out of the prison. Similarly, a prisoner also becomes a free individual when he accepts the authority of the king. Therefore, for a devotee, liberation is not at all an important issue. It is said, consider the holy name, when you chant the holy name. Do you know at what stage you attain liberation? At the clearing stage you become liberated. Not even a pure chanting. When your offenses start to reduce, clearing stage, you are liberated. Mukti.
Just to expand upon that point, Ramaj, is it correct to say that, yes, this sounds easy, just to accept, Krishna's appearance, and then we don't take birth, but because of our material contamination, that in and of itself is so difficult.
Contamination will disappear. Because what is the contamination? Disobedience to Krishna. So when you become obedient to Krishna, then contamination is gone. Right?
In the sense gratification.
So therefore, like Krishna is saying, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja. So mamekam sharanam braja, when you surrender to Krishna, ahantam sarva papibhyo. Contamination is sin, pap. Krishna himself will deliver you from all sinful reactions. So there is no consideration of contamination. You surrender to Krishna, you're immediately purified. It may take a little time, because the dirt that is there is so many years, it has become little thick layers. Now it's but Krishna, process of Krishna consciousness will scrub it and clear, purify it. It will happen.
But here in this lecture, Guru Maharaj, you clearly said that to know means to accept. Because people many times come with this argument, it's like knowing the alphabet. You know, it's just knowing. But to accept is a different thing.
Knowing and then accepting. Knowing is the first step, knowing that Krishna is God. Then acting according to that understanding that Krishna is God is the practical application, acceptance.
Except in every situation, that's the difficulty part.
Just surrender to Krishna, everything will be easy. Krishna has given that assurance. Ma suchaha, don't worry. Just surrender unto me. Is it difficult to surrender? It is. So overcome that difficulty. The rest will become automatically easy. Yeah?
What to speak then of people of other faiths? This was one of my qualms with my Catholic upbringing. They made it seem like, you know, if you don't accept...
There is only one faith. God is there. Doesn't matter by which name you call Him. Surrender unto Him. Isn't all the religions saying the same thing? Now the problem is, people don't realize that God is one. They say God is one. But they say, my Christian God is one. My Muslim God is one. My Hindu God is one. No, we have to understand Hindu, Muslim, Christians, Jews, they all are speaking about one Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why Prabhupada said, when some Catholic priest came to Prabhupada in New York and asked him, why are you converting these Christian boys and girls into Hindus? Prabhupada said, no, I'm not converting the Christians into Hindus or Muslims into Jews. He said, I'm simply making better Christians out of the Christians, better Jews out of the Jews, better Muslims out of the Muslims, and better Hindus out of the Hindus. I'm situating them in the right position. And that's why we can very boldly say, we are the real Christians. We are the real Muslims. We are the real Hindus. Because we have become situated in the right understanding. And another times also we can consider, like another time Prabhupada mentioned that if Jesus Christ, Moses and Muhammad were here, we could have had a wonderful discussion with them. We wouldn't have any disagreement.
It's almost like we practice what we preach, you know, by surrendering to Krishna, following the regulative principles, living
right.
The purified
right.
Life.
Right. Like all their teachings will be perfectly established in our movement.
Another example that gives a good example about this notion of God is like when we go on Harinam and people ask us what is it that we're doing and we're trying to explain that, then I like to give the example of the sun. Not the sun, whether you live in China or in Africa or wherever you are, everybody sees the sun, even though the languages are different.
Right, yeah.
They use a different
exactly.
word for the
yeah.
sun. But everybody knows here, whether they're in China, Africa or in Germany, is this one sun that they see. And
yeah.
So God is like that.
Right.
You know, and then for
he
them,
may be identified by different names.
Yeah, they have different names and different things, but still, it's one sun. You know, nobody in this world would doubt what you're telling them. Nobody would get this idea, no, it's a different one.
Nobody will say,
my sun
no.
in Africa is a different one than no sun in China. Nobody will get this idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other question? Yeah, you wanted to say something?
I wanted to say
yeah.
that thing. Besides, we are, the devotees are liberated, so they don't mind to serve wherever it is. You know. This is also, I mean, Prabhupada's movement in this material world, and that needs to be continued over for the next 10,000 years. So I'm also telling our good members and friends, So this is another good reason to make the ISKCON a nice place to be, because next life when we come back, we'd rather have it nice. So take the trouble to make this movement a nice place to be. So by the next birth we are taking, we will find a nicer place, rather than complaining and finding fault with it.
True. Very good point. Yeah.
And this is also my conclusion after 7 years of serving this movement. In the past, I used to have this idea of, maybe going back to Godhead, and so of course we do have this idea. But by now, I'm thinking if I can just continue life after life doing what I'm doing in search of Prabhupada, then I feel I have achieved, and that's real. Then I feel really real, and I feel, wow, I have achieved a little bit something.
Mm.
So, let's get to it. Maharaj, do you remember when, I think, where was it, in Mumbai maybe, or somewhere where they had this game with the numbers? That Prabhupada made this team game with the whole GBC. This was in Mumbai, I think it was in Mumbai, with the numbers, how much everybody is ready to surrender to Krishna. Do you remember?
Okay,
that?
Okay.
Was it number 1, 2, 3, to number 10? You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember what number you chose?
I don't remember.
Yeah. May I tell the story?
Okay.
It's okay? Yes?
Sure, please.
Okay, so we were in the GBC meeting, and at the beginning of the meeting, we had, I think, 3 days meeting, and on the first day, we were asked a question. The question was, how much are you prepared to give your life for Krishna? So, that was the question. And then 3 days, everybody forgot about that. And at the end of 3 days, the room had numbers in each corner. 1 to 10. And so the question came up again, and he said, do you remember we asked you how much are you prepared to give to Krishna? So now you have 2 seconds to go to the number that you feel is appropriate, how much you want to give to Krishna. So everybody went across the room, bumping into each other, because some who were there wanted to go there, some were there. So I think there was one person that was by number one. He said, so he is only prepared to give 1% to Krishna. Then there was maybe 2 or 3, and number 2 or 3. And then 6, 7, 8, there was a good number, most of them who were there. And then number 9, there was also, and I think Maharaj, you were number 9.
I don't remember.
So then, as we were going, everybody was supposed to explain why they chose that number. So at the beginning you say, yeah, because I'm sorry, I'm so weak, I'm already, I can't do so much for Krishna, therefore, I'm trying to be humble and I'm only taking 1, then 2, 3, then 9. And then Maharaj was asked why he chose 9. And Maharaj says, well, actually, I wanted to take 10. But when I considered my false ego, so I took away 1, so there was only 9 left. Do you remember what number I took?
Please tell us.
It's embarrassing, Mama.
You're 10.
But it just
right.
Remember that?
You're 10.
Yeah, you remember.
Yeah, right. Now I remember. Yeah. Yeah.
So now I took 10. And when I saw 7, 8, 9, all the Maharajas and all the gurus were there, and me. They were just so embarrassing. It was just so embarrassing. But the thing is, I had the same calculation as Maharaj said. I said, look, if you take 10 and your false ego, there's 9 left, right? But then my thoughts were a step further, and I said, and I showed on the wall this number 10 said. So I said 10. If I take my false ego away, this means I take the 1 away, my false ego. The only thing that's left is 0. And I'm the one who just zero Krishna. And then I said, so the only thing I have to do, and I have to give also my false ego to Krishna, then it makes sense.
Yeah, thank you.
So it was a funny thing, because we're talking about surrendering back to Krishna. So we want to give everything to Krishna. And yes, without restriction, without... Even our false ego.
Please <say.
laughs> And I remember Maharaj.
Then no more false ego if it's offered to Krishna.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not false ego, because the ego is there. It will always be there. But either it's towards material things, so it's false. But if we give it to Krishna, then it becomes, as you said, purified.
Right. Yeah.
And I remember where I tell this, Maharaj, because I remember that day when this happened. You were standing a few, just like here, telling your number nine how you decided for number nine. And then everybody was watching me, what is she going to say, you know. And while you were talking, I was thinking, my God, what am I going to say? This is so embarrassing. But then when I said what I said, you actually inspired me from your example to say what I said, actually, because you suggested this wonderful example to me. So I was very thankful.
Thank you.
Yes. So I'm very happy always when my God brothers come and visit and teach all these young boys and girls. We live from that. If you remember in 2006 you came here, you installed Srila Prabhupada, and we got also the Guru Parampara from Maharaj, and the name Hari Namadesh, we chose the name, and Maharaj veiled the name to the community and to everybody. It was Radhastami that day.
Yeah.
So we have a very strong connection to you. We almost every day we remember you.
Thank you. It's very kind of you.
Thank you. And I'm always very embarrassed because our opportunity of the possibility to actually serve you is so minimal. So
doesn't matter.
It's very embarrassing. It's not befitting your person.
No.
But at the same time, we just wanted to say
I'm very happy
much.
To be here, and I'm feeling very relaxed.
So, Devamrita Swami comes sometimes, Bhakti Baba Swami was here this year, and Bhakti Bhushana Swami was here. Every year we're trying to have.
You said Jnananda Maharaj was here.
Yeah, Jnananda, but he didn't come here. I met him in Hannover.
Okay.
I went there to meet him.
Oh, there is a.
He initiated two persons also. On Sunday, so I went there to meet him and talk to him. It was a very nice meeting also, very, very nice. He told his disciples that he is, most of the time he is traveling, so if they have questions, you know, they can come. And he said, and you please follow the instructions of the GBC. So this is very encouraging because, you know, we have to work so much and then to know that the devotees, they are going to be following, it makes the work a lot much easier. And Prabhupada is pleased. Then we have Samatau. You know Samatau means einverstanden. This is the German word, Samatau. This means we are of the same opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, Samatau, this means we agree with each other. We may have a different opinion, but we agree with each other. Huh? We are agreeable, and we are not going against, but we are always, yes, we're doing this for Prabhupada. So this is also part of the purification, that we're going to be agreeable with the authorities, agreeable with what's happening. And the more agreeable we are, the more we are becoming in touch with Krishna's will.
True, yeah.
So it's not that Krishna is going to come in person and tell us what to do, but through all these, the more we agreeable, this means the more we are moving away from my idea and I'm going to do it like this. No? But you say, okay, sure, then we'll do it like this. So this feeling of being agreeable It's a good feeling, it's a good thermometer to know how far I am from surrender or not. That's my count. My count.
Wonderful, thank you. So should we have some kirtan?
Yes.
Can you lift this one a little? Just, I think this will go up because the harmonium, give me the harmonium. No, not that one. Bring it here. How does this go up? Take the microphones. Ramananda, take the recorder from there. And whose recorder is that one?